Hi, everybody, and welcome to another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. My name is Coco Gem Holiday. Ooh, I know it's been a few weeks since I've actually released an episode of my podcast, but there's been so much life happening, and I wanted to apologize to each of you listeners. That's why I decided to record my podcast wearing a beautiful head wrap with a white t-shirt and gray sweatpants because I'm in my lesbian fantasy currently. And, you know, I'm just living my best life. So let's get into it. Let's talk about what's happened over the last couple of months. So starting back in December, actually, my husband had actually gotten into a car accident with his car. And then so we went car shopping to get him a new vehicle. And then within a couple of weeks, he got into another car accident with my vehicle, which totaled it. And so I went on the hunt for another car. And I can tell you right now, being an adult, those kind of issues just absolutely wreck you a little bit when it comes to figuring out what you're going to do and how you're going to be as a person. Like, it was one of those things where it was really stressful at the time because a lot of money is involved when it comes to acts of trying to like make big car purchases. We also changed a couple of our gigs over to being like quarterly, and we also gave up some gigs and things like that. And so it's been a really trying time in a way that was like really hard. And so that kind of took precedence in my brain. Also in my adult job, one of my staff actually put in their 2 weeks notice as well. So I've been like going through interviews, and so that's also been happening. On top of the fact, which I didn't get to post about this, one of me and the drag queen's name, Alexis Campbell Starr, got into a heated back and forth Facebook imagery posting, which I'll talk about a little bit later. And I also went to Hawaii. There's just so much things that happened over the last couple of months that I'd love to talk to all of you about. And also trying to talk about how to be kind to one another, because I also feel like it's really important that we talk about those subjects when it comes to drama and how everything's operating. And Portland has kind of been on fire over the last couple of days with just different things and people calling each other out and X, Y, and Z. And so, let's get into it. I did go to Hawaii with my drag child, Karaoke, Autumn Rains, and my husband, DJ Queer Cub, for our Anna Valentine's, and also for Carrie's birthday. It was a really great trip. It was so much fun. Also, it's funny. So we had, during Black History Month, we had Black Magic, of course. And Black Magic is an all POC show. Of course, the Black History Month show was an all black show from what I remember. And basically what ended up happening is it was hosted by me, Devlin Lynn Phoenix, and Kimber K. Shade. What I had noticed a couple days after the show is that one, Alexis Campbell Starr, had posted on the internet about how they thought that it was really inappropriate to like make audiences feel bad. Even though it is Black History Month, like you shouldn't necessarily make audiences feel bad, da 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 da. And one thing that I kind of pride myself on when it comes to Black Magic in general is like trying to take Black Magic as an educational moment for the audience. We talk about serious subjects, and we talk about how to be a good ally, how to be a good participant when it comes to voting. We talk about police brutality. We talk about Black Lives Matter. We talk about Black trans lives and things like that. And I think it's really important to have those conversations. And I always call it the educational moment, where we turn the music down and I talk to the audience like, around Thanksgiving, I always say like, F your racist grandma, you know, like, let's participate in conversations that are about collaborative and healthy movement as we move forward as a community. And so I had posted online, not necessarily a clapback per se, but I posted online that I think it's really important for us to use our platforms, to have these dialogues and whatever like that. And so Alexis had caught wind that I had kind of written against her in some capacity, and they had like called me out. And so it kind of went back and forth with memes and stuff like that. And it was interesting because everybody's like, aren't you scared of this person? Aren't you scared of this person? And it's like, no, I'm not really scared of this person. I was like, the reality situation is, as drag artists, like, we don't really, a lot of us, like, here's the thing, though. Like, it wasn't one of those situations where it was like, let's brawl out in public or whatever. It was a discourse that happened between two individuals. And yeah, it was public, whatever. But it's at the same time, it's like if you walk around being afraid to ever confront people when they're speaking out against something that you care about, and I care about Black Magic as a show, then everybody's just going to keep walking over each other. I also have been seeing a lot of people posting online about how the drag scene in Portland is more toxic than other scenes. And the thing is, I actually kind of want to admit myself that I do think that the Portland drag scene is a bit more toxic than other scenes. I think it has a lot to do with Portland really prides itself on mental health and being like working on yourself a lot of the time. But when people are going through that journey, they kind of act out a little bit, and they post online to gain support for how they're feeling in a specific moment. I remember last year sometime, I think I probably even talked about it on the podcast, there was a drag entertainer who decided to call a bunch of people out on the internet. And they called me out specifically that, you know, they had came to one of my shows and they expected to get a booking out of it. And then one of the other things they did that I did that harmed them so much is they were one of the second to last people I paid, I guess, for a show. Even though they said they were the last person to get paid, they were like the second to last person to get paid for this bigger show we all did. But they did get their money. And so they deleted the post talking about like rapists and people who sexually assaulted people and like all these other things. They deleted the post. But then when they reposted it, they still tagged my name, removed everybody else's name, and still like kind of came after me like I was the big bad in the scenario. And that always left a really bad taste in my mouth, because it's like, so even though I just didn't book you for a show when you thought you might get a booking and you still got paid for a show, but not when you wanted, I raised higher on the level of people you needed to attack versus the others. And then somebody had said to me, they're like, well, you need to give that person a lot more grace because, you know, they're struggling with their mental health and da 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 da. And the thing is, like, your mental health is your responsibility. Like, it, for people to give grace when they're being attacked is just, I feel like that's an odd sentiment, and it's a very Portland sentiment. We can always we can always have this understanding and grace that we're like, oh my gosh, somebody's going through something. And so try not to berate them. And that's usually my tactic. I don't berate them when something is happening like that. But I usually just stay quiet and whatever. And a lot of people in the city is like, why is Coco always quiet when people are attacking her consistently on the internet? And I was like, because the other thing is like, I don't have to compete with people who are being messy on the internet. I don't have to do that. Like, I can just keep doing me, keep doing my stuff, keep operating who I am. And that is important to me, right? That's important to me about my brand and how I operate. And I have the resources to keep myself safe and protected. And I don't ever have to be in a zone or a space to where I have to feel uncomfortable with who I am. Like, the reality is too, I know that sometimes people can't help themselves when it comes to how they lash out and how they are how they are irresponsible with their own emotions and or their own mental health, and they may not be even seeking help for that. And I become an easy target or a punching bag for people in the community to get their feelings out there. But it's not going to stop me from moving. It's not going to stop me from shaking, right? And so going back to the situation with Alexis, like, I don't consider that under the mental health flag or whatever like that. She had an opinion. She expressed it. I had an opinion and I expressed mine. And the thing is, it's like one of the few battles I had on the internet where somebody wasn't taking cheap shots, which I feel like, and I actually kind of admire that. Like, every time somebody else comes for me on the internet, I'm always like, how did you get from point A to point B? Like, the mental gymnastics doesn't ever seem to make sense to me. And like, then people will write me, they're like, oh, well, they're having a mental health episode. It's like, that's an excuse. With like Alexis, she stood on her business and I stood on mine. And even though we don't like each other, I actually kind of respect her for just saying her piece and being upfront about it. And one of the last things she said to me, she's like, I hope you bring the same energy after you get back from Hawaii and da 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 da. And I did see her. Actually, she came to like the show I was at or whatever, and like she just came in from behind me with like a bunch of girls, and she tipped all the other girls in the show and she didn't tip me, and like that was it. Like, I'm not, the thing is, like, people always talk about, they're like, these people are big bads, you know, don't cross them, they'll F you up and da 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 da. Like, I'm not big enough on her radar for her to like beat me up in a parking lot. That's not like a thing, and that's not even how she operates. Like, it's, the fact is, like, it was squabble. Yeah, it shouldn't have been public, and I bet if she probably talked to her friends about that, like, they're like, girl, don't be posting stuff like that on the internet. It's like, it's not necessarily appropriate. And like, here's the thing though, right now, Alexis is Empress from the ISRC, which is an organization that most people know that I don't really respect that much. Because I think some of the things they've done for the community are not healthy, or they're not good for the community. And so Alexis is currently Empress. And I do think that people take those shiny hats. And as much as people get offended by the comment that I say shiny hats, the thing is, the shiny hat doesn't matter. It's what you do when you hold a position of power that actually matters. And even if you got voted in to have that shiny hat, it still matters what you do with the shiny hat. The shiny hat does not make you a good person. The shiny hat does not make you a leader. The shiny hat does not make you a role model. The shiny hat does not make all of your flaws go away. The shiny hat doesn't make you a better performer. It doesn't do anything at all, actually. But when it gives you, all it does is gives you a platform. That's it. And then what you do with it is what matters. And that's what makes you a great leader, a great role model, a great example, a great performer, things like that. If somebody's like, oh yeah, I'm going to buy better costumes because I have this platform. I'm going to, you know, become a better performer because I have this platform. And that's how I feel about titles, because they really don't matter unless you choose to do something with the platform you're given from having the shiny hat. And so that's kind of where I want to leave that whole Alexis scenario. And I know that a lot of people might have different opinions or comments on this situation, and I would be happy to hear it. So I guess at this point, listeners, how are you doing? Let me know in the comments. Hey, fabulous listeners, get ready for an unforgettable experience on March 24th at noon. The glamour, the glitz, and the gastronomy come together at the inaugural Vancouver Drag Brunch taking place at the Dazzling Underbar, hosted by the one, the only, Coco Gem Holiday. This 21 and up extravaganza promises to be the highlight of your weekend. Picture this, a vibrant brunch, electrifying performances, and a cast that's ready to slay the stage. Featuring the fabulous lineup of Henny, Sincere, Autumn Rains, Lady Barry Matthews, and Kisses Ash. Secure the spot now with pre-sale tickets at just $15. Hurry, prices go up to $20 at the door. Don't miss the chance to witness these incredible performers in action. Visit www.vancouverdragbrunch.com to grab your tickets and be part of the glitzy drag brunch affair of the year. It's a celebration of fabulousness you won't want to miss. Save the date, spread the word, and get ready to sashay the day away at Vancouver Drag Brunch, where brunch meets glamour.
It's a podcast. Check it out. Tune into what they tell you podcast. Check
it out. And we are back, listeners. So starting off this next round, so this last week in Portland, it seemed like there was a lot of mudslinging across the board, and it all started, actually there was a couple of things that happened. There was a newer producer in town who had a drag brunch, and I guess what had happened is that last drag brunch that they had, the bar, I guess, was closing or canceling the show. I'm not quite sure what happened in that regard, but the entertainers were not necessarily informed in a timely manner. Like, it was guests that were telling the entertainers in the show that it had been canceled, and so they had canceled it. So that left the entertainers with a bad taste in their mouth. This producer then also threw a show at Misfits during Black History Month, and they got a one-time date. And so it was really important for, you know, all entertainers and producers in the city to try to book some Black folks for their shows. And what happened is they had to scrounge up, like they reached out to a lot of people, and they really struggled and whatever in getting those Black producers to be, sorry, Black entertainers to be in the show. And so people were kind of just calling this person out about how they had all been treated. But I guess the producer had made an apology post and took accountability for a lot of their actions. But when they made that post, what happened was people came out of the woodwork talking about, you know, their experiences with this producer. And it kind of blew up from there in a lot of different ways. And also what came to light is there was, I don't actually know how long they've been doing drag, but there was an entertainer in the city who I guess stole from a couple of different people. I had actually been reached out to because I had booked this entertainer in one of my upcoming shows that said, hey, how do I handle a situation when I find out an entertainer's been stealing? And I said, well, always handle it privately. That's first and foremost. Always handle it privately. Like, reach out to them, figure out if it's actually true or not. I was like, because being labeled as a thief in drag is like one of like the cardinal sins. Like, if you get caught stealing, it pretty much just ruins your drag career forever. Right? It just does. Because drag artists don't make a lot sometimes in a show. Like, it could be well promoted, everybody brings their best costume, and then there's seven people in the audience, right? And then you only make like $20, but then you bought like a $50 outfit. So that's something to just keep in mind. And so what had happened was this entertainer did post online about how they were sorry and it was a misunderstanding. And myself included wrote on the status basically being like, hey, so what do you, I was like, did you actually steal the stuff or was it a misunderstanding? Like, sometimes things get caught in a person's bag or whatever, and things like that. And actually, I have a story about this, which is interesting. And I think I might have talked about it on the podcast before. Over a year ago, there was an entertainer who had written me in Autumn, and they said, hey, I left my fur coat. Did you happen to see a fur coat? Because I guess they had a show at the venue, like I think on a Thursday, and my show was on a Friday. And so they had reached out because they left their coat. They left their coat at the venue. And there wasn't really a dressing room at the venue that was like a good XYZ or whatever. It wasn't a good dressing room. And so they had asked me in Autumn if we had seen a coat. I was at work at the time. Autumn was asleep. And so we didn't respond right away. And this entertainer got catty with us in the group chat because like we didn't respond right away. They're like, okay, well, I see you guys. You know, like that kind of energy. So I went down. I eventually got a chance to check my bag because a lot of the times at that show, Adam would like pack up all the stuff, you know, he would just pack up all the stuff and found out that the coat was in my bag. Adam had just put it in there because it was left there. Like all the stuff that was there, just put in the bag. Cause Adam doesn't know what I bring to shows or whatever like that. And so he just packed everything up cause it might've been Autumn's too. Cause she was in the same dressing area as me. So it turned out that I did have the coat. And then so we tried to set up a time to meet. And so what this person did is they decided to go on the internet and then call me a thief. Because I hadn't been responding quick enough to them, and then called me out for saying that I had said something about the entertainer wearing braids when they weren't black, and they know how I feel about them, which was the most toxic thing I had ever seen. And then, of course, once again later, somebody was like, oh, you know, they were going through like a mental health thing at the time. I was like, oh my gosh. I was like, so this person who I said, yes, I have your coat, here's where I'll be, here's some time for you to come get it from me, decided to post online, be catty, be irresponsible, and be kind of heartless, in my opinion, when in reality, they were the ones who left their items in actually the public space at the bar, because the bar had a downstairs dressing room, and then they also had a like behind the DJ booth dressing room that anybody in the public could get to. And so that's where the coat was left, in the upstairs area in the public where anyone could get to. They were lucky that we were happy to grab the coat for them. And they got their coat back, too. But it didn't stop them from making a status about me, calling me out, putting untruths on the internet, just because, I don't know, they were a terrible person at the time. I'm not quite sure. But that's literally what happened. And I will always be dumbfounded when people take to the internet to gain sympathy and support for their own irresponsibility for leaving their coat at a venue. But they even got their coat back. So whatever on that situation. So, but it kind of like, so that's why I was asking for this newer entertainer. And I said, did you actually steal the stuff or was it truly a misunderstanding? And then so, Savannah O'Bennington actually got on the status and basically just let her have it and was like, no, you did steal. You're not taking accountability. You're not being responsible for your actions. And so they ended up deleting the post, recreating the post, and people got on that one and they ended up deleting comments from that post. And then they deleted that post again. It got so messy. And this is at the same time as people were calling out that other producer for their show and their apologies. It was just like the city was just on fire during most of this. And so here's my advice about these situations. If you're going to get on the internet and try to take accountability for something, you need to also take the accountability for something, because everybody's going to have an opinion about what you have done. And so you have to be open to that, letting it sit there as you need to, or just say nothing. Apologize to people privately if you've actually done them wrong. And then if they choose to post online being like, oh my God, I got this apology from this person, but I still think they're trash, and post about it on the internet, you have one of two options. You can go online and be messy back, or you can just let it sit out there. A lot of the times I just let it sit out there because it's not going to affect my bookings. It's not going to affect like my journey or how I operate or how I am. Like, I have had people with tons more followers than me come after me. I've had people with very little followers come after me. It does not change my game in any capacity. Sometimes people just really, really, really need to feel like a victim. And I'm not saying that's what's happened with these two people, but when people try to gain support from their followers about how they were wronged, like, it gives them something, maybe a feeling of support, maybe to not feel like they're being crazy. I don't quite know why people need that validation. It's not something that I strive to ever, like, I mean, in my 20s, like, that was something that was important to me, I guess, but it was important to me because I just felt like I didn't have my head on straight. And now that I do, and I realize that that support doesn't actually mean anything. Somebody being like, yeah, girl, F that person. I agree. They are trash. Like, it didn't actually make me feel better. It just is somebody commiserating with me. It's like a sounding board. But I'm hurting somebody else when I do that, right? And I just don't think that, like, going online being like, this person has wronged me so much, does that. Now, I have also posted online about an entertainer in the city who made a comment about my husband being an abuser. And that just gives me rage, because the reality is my husband isn't an abuser in any capacity. But also, I'm in entertainment. Like, any of these people can come from me all day long. I don't care. But when you come from my husband, I get viciously angry. Like, it is like a sore subject. It is a hot spot for me. I don't like it. And if you do it, I will forever and always not like you. And you could apologize to me over and over and over again. And the reason I finally found out from somebody sent me a screenshot of their conversation with them. Like, why did you call Adam an abuser? And they basically just said, oh, well, I just figured because they were in relation to other people that they must have been as well, or something like that. I'm paraphrasing. And so they just called my husband an abuser just because he's friends with people. And I think that that was the most disgusting thing, because that's how people lose jobs. That's how rumors get started in a really toxic way. And since these things aren't true, it's just made me hate this person. And I haven't been able to get this rage out, because with myself, like, you know, I'll work on myself. I'll go to therapy and XYZ. But when it comes to him, I have a protective bubble. And if people ever come for him, I just stop liking them forever. And I will forever feel a way about them in every capacity of the word. It doesn't matter how much they apologize. I will never like them. I just want them to stay out of my way. And so that's kind of what's been happening on the internet this week. And then a couple of more people were actually called out, but I don't necessarily feel comfortable talking about those scenarios, because I feel like that's not necessarily my business, because a lot of those posts were deleted. But like, this city really had been on fire. Like, there had been people who's gotten their cars broken into. My DJ, Barefist, got their car window shattered again, which is a huge thing in Portland. Like, car windows get shattered constantly here. I don't know why, but it just keeps happening. It's really disgusting that it keeps happening too. And like, there's been just so many conversations that have happened about how people operate or move through this scene. And a lot of the people had actually posted online about why they think the scene is so toxic in that way too. I remember so even today, a person who I really appreciate, a drag entertainer, Barbie Valentine, had actually said, today marks 7 months since I removed myself from the toxicity of the Portland drag scene. Definitely don't miss it. And it's true. There is a lot of toxicity here. And I also say that I think the scene tends to shoot itself in the foot a lot of the times. like sometimes when people put this stuff out on the internet, it doesn't actually help our audiences or our customers want to come out to our shows. When they're seeing all this drama going back and forth, it doesn't make people want to show up for anybody else, right? Now, switching gears, I actually want to talk about a couple of situations that have happened recently. There was a scenario. I was at CC Slaughter's, and I was going into the bathroom. I cut the line because I really needed to use the restroom. And then the middle stall opened, because when I'm in drag, I always try to use the stalls, right, to close the door to be able to use the restroom. And so the door opened, and there were these two guys in there, and I think they were probably doing drugs or whatever. I don't quite know. And so one of them left, and then one of the other guys grabbed me and tried to pull me. He's like, you should come in here with me. And I said, no. And I said, no. I said no. And he kept pulling me in there. And, like, the dude was, like, I wouldn't say, like, half my size. He was my height, but he was, like, really skinny, and I could throw him over my shoulder if I needed to. But I did feel the loss of power, right, in that moment. He was not – this person was not an entertainer, at least from what I understand, just a regular patron at the bar. And tried to pull me in there, and I could tell that he was high. And I could tell. I mean, I don't know for certain, but I could tell. And, like, tried to push me in, and I kept saying no, no, no. And then he finally, like, left and whatever. But I felt really uncomfortable by that. And so after I was done with the restroom, I went up to security, and I did say, like, hey, that person did da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right, to me. And I – because that's the thing. Like, I wanted to handle that personally. I didn't, like, talk about it on the internet, not because I was afraid to, but because that was the situation, and I handled it. I don't know if they were pulling me in there to try to do drugs with them, if they were trying to, like, SA me in some capacity, or maybe they were trying to, like, make out with me. I don't know, because I said no, and I pushed away from the scenario. And I felt safe because Adam was, like, right outside the bathroom door. You know, and I did tell security, and the thing is, if security might have banned them from the bar, I don't know what would have happened. I just think that using the court of public opinion or just reaching out to producers in this way is just always such a weird vibe. Like, if somebody is stealing from entertainers, absolutely, because that affects all of us. Like, but if somebody in this capacity is unsafe in our community, I guess maybe I do agree that you should reach out and say your story or whatever, or reach out to the person or complain, or, like, maybe correct it to the proper authorities. So I guess my answer is I don't know how I would handle it, I guess. And some people are handling it online. So I guess there is that. Sorry to be wishy-washy on the subject. It just hasn't happened to me. The one thing that's, like, a blessing about being a bigger black dude is that people don't try this stuff with me, mainly because I'm not conventionally attractive enough to where this stuff would ever happen to me. It just wouldn't. So I guess there, I'll leave it at that. Now, as we get to the end of this episode, I guess the advice that I have also for the community, always try to handle your situations one-on-one first. If you're feeling like somebody did something that's terrible, then handle the situation one-on-one first. If that seems like it's not working, then definitely try to find other avenues. I think that that's really important, but try to remain kind. I know that the bandwagon loves a little bit of drama, and everybody wants to jump on top of that. But, you know, I just think that it doesn't help our scene if we look like we're tearing down people the second we catch wind of something that's negative that happened, right? I guess that's where I sit with it. I was told recently that somebody thought my politics were lukewarm, and I think living in Portland is what actually changed them to being a little bit more lukewarm, because I have seen, I have been privy to and in person when certain things happen to other people, and the way they respond to it is sometimes it floors me. Like, I want to be like, that's not what happened. And they're like, well, you weren't there. I was like, no, I was there. That's not what happened. And the way that you're reacting to it is semi-dangerous. Like, you're creating this narrative about a person, and that's not what happened. And they're like, well, that's your perspective. And I'm like, what? Sure, but that's not what happened. And then people are like, oh, well, you're gaslighting me. And I'm like, which is the Portland buzzword of the year. And I'm like, okay. And so you just, like, kind of let it go. And that's what's made my politics lukewarm, is because I'm like, that's not how I'm seeing the situation unfold in front of me. And that is my perspective. And I sometimes feel gaslit like hell when stuff is happening, because I'm like, I was like, shoot, I was like, I guess I just missed it then. I must be super wrong. And so my perception and reality gets warped. And so then I get wishy-washy in my politics, because I'm like, I don't really know what happened then, because you were obviously incredibly hurt by X scenario. I didn't see it that way when I saw it happening in front of me. And I'll even say that even when people are posting receipts, there are contexts when it comes to receipts. And so we should take those with a grain of salt, but we also need to make sure that we don't necessarily put our foot in our mouth when it comes to some of these situations. It takes a village to build itself up, and it takes literally one person to dismantle it. So what I have to say for the Portland drag scene is, I know that we can be better. I know that we can be healthier. I know that we can keep ourselves safe. We can police our own community, and we can also make sure our scene is seen as something that's beautiful and bright. But until that time, just take a beat, everybody. Breathe in, breathe out, do what you need to do for your own mental health, and be as safe as you can. That's it, everybody. Thanks. Bye. Hi, everybody. This has been another episode of A Gem of a Secret Podcast. The host of A Gem of a Secret Podcast is Coco Gem Holiday. Our music was provided by Touche Douche and Party Favors. You can follow them on Instagram at Touche Likes Beef and Party Favors Music. Please follow us online at www.agemofasecretpodcast.com. That is a J-E-M of a secret podcast.com, or anywhere you listen to podcasts. Our episodes are released every Thursday. Bye-bye.